The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hear God's holy word as it is recorded in the Revelation of St. John in the 15th chapter. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass glowing with fire, and standing beside the sea those who had been victorious over the beast and its image, and over the number of its name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for this mission festival. We thank you that we can hear of what you are doing across the globe, and especially also on this continent, to spread the wonderful gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, calling men and women, young and old, to hear that they are your children, and to hear that they are part of your saved people, your one holy Christian church. Lord God, we thank you that we are part of it too. And we ask you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that he will lead and guide us as we go about those things which you have called us to do as your faithful people. Lord Heavenly Father, have mercy on us, for Christ's sake. Amen. Dear friends of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, today we are celebrating God's red hot favorite. It's but one of those reasons why we should celebrate here with all these red carpets and red seats. Nobody should be surprised that God's mission is this, his red hot favorite. Nobody should be surprised to realize that this is therefore also the red-hot favorite of the church too. This godly mission, this Missio Dei, the mission of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The final result and end goal of this divine mission is the divine victory, the triumphant celebration that we hear about here in St. John's writing. Even while he was in exile on his Robben Island, actually, Patmos, God himself reveals this wonderful vision of the final victory celebrations to his apostle and bishop of the church during times of terrible persecution and hardship, when he was all alone, not with a lovely, delightful crowd like this, there on the island of Patmos. While he was considering how his seven congregations in Asia Minor were doing, so God, in his divine mercy, goodness, and love towards his church, but also to his St. John, he did not only love him there as a disciple, but also when he had already ascended victoriously to heaven, he continued with his love for his disciple. He did not leave him alone. And so he lets him see that he is not alone, just like the prophet Elijah, whom he, when he thinks, oh, we are so few, he says, he lets him see there are many more. When he opens up the roof and lets him see beyond those things which are here in front of our eyes, and lets him see the hosts, the victorious hosts in heaven. St. John sees something which looked like a sea of glass glowing with fire, and standing beside the sea, those that had been victorious. There should be no doubt in our mind that at the end, God's people are going to be victorious. This is not in question. It's just that we might have some difficulty to believe it now. And so, but it is a fact as true as God is living. More sure than anything else you know is that God is going to keep his promises and let us see what we have here believed. I admit the vision of St. John conceals about as much as it reveals. We don't get to see much detail. We just hear of that sea of glass glowing with fire and red hot. For sure, perhaps some of us think of Luther's imagery of God being this red hot fire, this furnace, aglow with the love towards his people, to each one of them. Not just St. John, but not only to John Magara, but also to all his other people. You know, our love is often just limited to one person, and perhaps it's good we don't even make him feel as loved as he should or she should, because our capability for love is so limited. But God is this red-hot, glowing furnace who can really love everybody and let everybody not miss out one little bit, that nobody actually feels, well, he's left me out in the cold. No, we can all find a warming place to feel warm, not only in front, but also from the back, everywhere, because it is real hot love from God. And that is that huge, uncountable multitude, even bigger than the Ethiopian church. A multitude that cannot be counted, that has been victorious, redeemed and forgiven, washed with the blood of the Lamb, purified by water and the Holy Spirit in baptism, no longer wailing nor crying, no longer suffering nor going through bad times, troublesome valleys, death, dark veil. All of those are done with. All of it. Bafigile. That's good news. Bafigile sizo figa futhi. Impela. Because God is true. And you know, I'm not as gifted as my dear brother John. You know, you heard he's learning Zulu English and all these things. I'm struggling to get a few sentences in Zulu right. I really take my hat off to him. And all those other gifted students who, besides learning Greek and Hebrew, learn English too all the time. Well, Bafigile, they have reached the goal at peace, rejoicing, glorifying God, worshipping his name, singing his praises without end in an inexpressible beauty, even more beautiful than these lovely choirs did this morning, because it's just perfect. It's summum bonum, the highest good. There's nothing more. For us humans, it's beyond comprehension. But because God is alive and God is true, we'll see it. These are the ones that St. John is seeing, and he shares this vision with us. At a previous time he wrote, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language. It's not just your mission, your business. No, This is the mission of God for all nations, tribes, people, and languages. And they all stand before the throne, not in their little box, but unified before the Lamb, wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they all cried together in that loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and the Lamb, Jesus Christ." The Lion from David, from Judah, who has been victorious. He was slaughtered, yes, but he's victorious, and his roar goes across the world. And they are roaring it this Sunday everywhere, and they all praise his name. They who are sitting with Maria at the feet of listening to Jesus, his word, because he's pointing them to the one who is worth all praise in heaven and on earth. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord of all. No Lord higher than him. He is the King of nations, the Lord Sabaoth, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the center of the victorious celebrations in heaven. And it is he who does all and everything to gather his celebrants, his partygoers, his worshippers, his adoring congregation and church around him, because he's like the Father who loves it when his children are around him, all of them, and doesn't want one to miss out. Everybody is to be there and have his seat. He pulls them from the ends of the world towards himself, from the four corners of the globe, from the high and low places, from towns and cities, from rural villages, lonely landscapes, and even from that lonely island, Patmos. And he does so by pure love and mercy, through the forgiveness of all our sin, and by granting us divine pardon and gracious favor. That's his opus major, his opus proprium, his real and main thing. That's what God is about, carrying out this mission of his. It's his speciality, his favorite business, his core business, his divine mission. That's what he's been busy with from the very beginning. He's doing all along. He calls sinners, like Zacchaeus, enlightens the unworthy, like that woman at the well. He sanctifies ungodly, like Peter, who did not think godly things, but worldly things. He gathers and keeps people who do not belong, who were outside, outcast, rejected and lost, who had given up, not only those Emmaus disciples, but also that treasurer who went home and thought it had been in vain, his visit to Jerusalem, and St. Philip called him. And our dear brother from Ethiopia reminded us that that has borne forth lots of fruit, the biggest Lutheran church in the world. It took 2 millennia, but you know, God doesn't build his kingdom in one day. He's taking his time, but he's really doing a good job about it. Yes, he's building his people, his congregation, his one holy and only church. Outside this blessed communion and ecclesial fellowship with God, there is no life, no salvation, nothing worth bearing that name. Outside it's desert, horrible vain. Outside there's lastly but fear, terror, gnashing of teeth, in eternal condemnation. Even if you might not see it, and even if the world thinks they can poke fun at it, at this idea. Remember the rich man in hell when he said, "Go tell my brothers." And Jesus said, "Let them hear Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear them, they won't believe if somebody rises from the dead." Still, our Lord does not want anybody to be lost. Rather, he wants everybody to be saved, come to the knowledge of truth in him. That's why he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting and eternal and blessed life and salvation. There's no other way to the Father in heaven than through his Son, Jesus Christ. We heard it in the Gospel. He's the only way, the truth, the light. All his actions and deeds are aimed to save us from eternal damnation and bring us to everlasting life with him and blessed salvation, to enjoy it with him in peace without end. That's his blessed mission. It's precisely these saving miracles and wonders of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ which he accomplished in fulfilling his mission, that the heavenly bands are praising, these victorious multitudes of singing worshippers and blessed saints. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Just think about that. Is it not one of the greatest miracles and wonders that you are saved? If it wasn't by grace, I'd be lost 1,000 times. Isn't it a miracle and wonder that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That he sought and found you as the seminarians were singing? That he has made me his very own? Yes, that's reason to praise him every day anew. That you love him, trust him, and are confident that he will fulfill his promises that he has made to you long ago. You are mine. And nothing will take you out of my hand. Isn't it just out of this world and truly awesome? Of course it is. And he has done that kind of miracle and wonder over and over again, millions of times. You have heard that from the evangelist James May, from Pastor Cesar Lugujola. He does it in prisons even. You've heard it from the student and messenger Telanie Forsido from Abyssinia, that he's done it for thousands of years. You've heard from missionary Chris, and also from our young man Magara from Congo, that he's busy doing this even via the cell phone. You could have heard it also from Vicar Gebotol, who's busy in Umlazi, working in that same French congregation. Student Ashanavi and Kuakpiu from Sudan, who know about missions in Arabic, but also from Kaina Rugaba in Botswana, Shiva in Swaziland, Riri and Herinai from Madagascar, where there are also millions of Lutherans, but where even today people are still saved from the clutches of Satan and brought into the holy confines of the church. She too is a daughter of Abraham. He also is a son of Abraham. Yes, they can also sing a song, these people I've mentioned, about the great and marvelous deeds of our Lord Almighty. You have heard the invitation of our Lord in today's Gospel, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavily burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It is this kind, loving and merciful Lord who does his gracious work without fail, without rest, even where we fail and have to rest, and sometimes say, "Though my time is over." It is he who has accomplished that wonder of justifying a poor and miserable sinner again and again through holy baptism, absolution, during the Lord's Supper, during sermons, answering our prayers, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." He does this wonderful miracle and wonder when your brother says to you again, "You are forgiven. Peace be with you." It's as firm and as reliable here on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why we already join the celestial crowds in their singing and praises even now. "Jesus is my confidence," even where the grave is open. "What a friend we have in Jesus." We could sing that over and over again with the students. We just love that one. Or, "Jesus crucified for me is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation." See, my dear friends, St. John does not only direct our eyes forward to the very consummation of the world and towards that final victory and glorious celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ, being all in all that is to come visibly, but it is still outstanding. We don't see it yet. No, St. John reminds us of God's righteous acts that have already been revealed, of those that are historic reality already. They that are perfectly sure and steadfast foundation of our faith. We all together are coming together from Easter. That's where it became clear that the grave couldn't hold Jesus Christ. Devil, death, and all evil were not able to keep hold of the crucified, dead, and buried Jesus. Can you imagine if he, in that weakened condition, was so strong, how omnipotent he must be when he's alive and raw? Even when in his weakest stage they could not hold him, how on earth do they think they could hold him when he's sitting on the throne with all authority given to him? Even dead and buried, he conquered all those bestial foes. foes once for all. He was victorious over the beast and its image and over the number of its name, breaking their power convincingly, breaking open the portals of hell, freeing the captives, letting the doomed inmates out by the harrowing of hell. And see, he did that all for us, for his people, God's children in this world. It's like Walther taught us in his Easter hymn, the Savior rose and death, hell and Satan, he vanquished his foes. The conquering Lord lifts his banner on high, he lives, yes, he lives and will never more die. Oh, where is your sting, death? We fear you no more. Christ rose and now open his fair Eden's doors. For all our transgressions, his blood doth atone. Redeemed and forgiven, we now are his own. Since Easter, the Christian church sings and prays its God for his awesome miracles and wonders accomplished, fulfilled, finished in the mission of his Son Jesus Christ. Nothing can stop these triumphant songs and hallelujahs of the Christian church. No persecution, no hardship, no martyrdom. Not even by wiping out the church in whole countries. His mission continues. Since the mission of Jesus Christ into this world, the praises of angels and archangels have never ceased. And we still intone the Soli Deo Gloria today. In his name we sing the Agnus Dei, the Magnificat, the Benedictus, the Nunc Dimittis, Psalms, Te Deum, Litany, countless other Lutheran hymns and spiritual songs. Yes, since that early time, the Holy Church responds with Hosanna and Hallelujah without end to the Gospel, which is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, but also to us Gentiles. This gospel that Jesus Christ is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won, delivered me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death, in order that I may be wholly his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. So with Luther, we continue to shout out the battle cry as we struggle under the cross in our struggle in this world and age against our own sinful self, the devil and all evil. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. And that little word, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. As faithful Christians, we are not like little children playing in the sandpit, forgetting time and space around us. We are not like those who believe that they are just in a continuous cycle of ever-returning seasons, non-ending myths and fables. No, we Christians are very much aware of our historic origin and our predestined future. Our existence is not just afloat somewhere by the whim of some cosmic dust storm or celestial mishap. Rather, we believe and confess that our Lord and God stands at the very beginning with his creative word, let there be light, and lots of goodness. And he is the one who stands at the very end to proclaim the gracious words, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Living in between these two outposts of God's mission, the Missio Dei, always carried by the miracles and wonders of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being upheld and uplifted day by day by the accomplishments and achievements of our merciful Lord, sustained and edified by his ongoing mission of grace, love, peace, mercy, we too are called to participate in his mission, serving creation as good stewards, being faithful disciples of his grace, confessing his goodness before all people of all nations, carried forward by his promises, sustained by his gracious means, we fear no foe and lack no good. Our table is set, and we will remain in the house of the Lord forever. Patient, forbearing, confident, content, joyful, and grateful that we've got such a good Lord. Therefore, follow the exhortation of Isaiah, which our brother from PPT read, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Please, my friends, God's mission is not just some passing fancy of this or that enthusiastic individual or bunch of crazies. Rather, it is the top priority of God's very own agenda. Hence, it is a very churchly matter, essential and vital to the very constitution and being of the church. Without the mission, the church would cease to exist, because mission is the very life process of the church, its breath and heartbeat, its most vital movement as it faithfully reaches out and beyond its own narrow confines with faithful confession of God's divine and saving truth and mercy. His possibilities always by far outshine and outlast our meager possibilities. Yes? It's like the living branches of the Christ vine, which are filled with the divine spirit and godly motivation, and thus continue to flourish and to keep growing. Not just growth for its own sake, as in fruitless branches, but rather in bearing rich and ripe fruit of good works that stem from God's forgiveness of sin, fruits growing out of the passive participation in his godly life, which he shares so abundantly with us in his gracious word and sacraments, fruits that come from our communion and fellowship in Christ's eternal salvation. That's what the apostle writes about in his epistle for today. And just listen to this little epistle and think about how full it is of what we and our mission should look like. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another if any one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So let's do it and sing the next hymn. Amen. And the peace of